All right, hello, Idiots on Parade, the Too Ugly for TV podcast. Bonus podcast, Nathan here, saying some of my stupid thoughts to you. What I'm about to read is called The Future Needs a Big Kiss. I wrote it in 2015, and the reason I chose this to read today is because it's still in the news. A new video was released online, a comedian talking about experiences with politically correct attitudes and stand-up comedy. And what is it? It's 2018, so 3 years have passed. Not a lot has changed, which I suppose is good. Things could have gotten worse, but I think maybe they've leveled off. I don't know. Either way, this piece is about my experience telling stand-up comedy at a college, at a university, during a time when everything was and remains a little politically correct for the health of society. Anyway, the future needs a big kiss. Here we go. When I heard Chris Rock say, "I won't work colleges anymore because they've gotten too conservative," I paused. In his own words, quote, "not in their political views, not like they're voting Republican, but in their social views and their willingness not to offend anybody." Kids raised on a culture of, "we're not going to keep score in the game because we don't want anybody to lose," or just ignoring race to a fault. You can't say, "the black kid over there." No, it's "the guy with the red shoes." You can't even be offensive on your way to being offensive. That quote frightened me, because if an icon like Chris Rock had to be worried about offending kids, what hope is there for a comedian of my limited stature? As it turns out, none. There's no hope for me. I recently had a gig at a college, and it was an unmitigated disaster. Or so I was told. I thought I was receiving a typical college response. The instant the lights went down, I heard nothing but kids talking over me. When I said my first "hello" into the microphone, approximately 3 of the 150 people responded. The rest, they were in their own world, eating, talking, and posting selfies to Instagram. I shrugged it off and barreled forward the best I could, because I was under contract. I had to sling jokes for my 30 minutes, audience indifference be damned. So it was with genuine surprise when 25 minutes later, I was pulled from the stage and told I was offending people. Now, I'm not dense. I knew I wasn't killing it. Had the apathy started halfway through my set, I would have said, "oh crap, I'm losing them." But since disinterest was the norm from the get-go, I figured, all right, this is how it's going to be. Never in a million years did I think I was shocking the audience. When I was told otherwise, I asked which of my comments were out of line. The opening response was, off the top of my head, "when you made fun of white people names." Well, to be fair, I did make fun of white people names. After the audience ignored my "hello," it was obvious they weren't going to pay attention to me. Given that, I decided to speak with them, to do interactive material. I started working the room, dancing on verbal eggshells the whole time, because I am not stupid. In situations like this, it's best to tread lightly. For 15 minutes, I spoke with different tables, different students, making light, situational jokes. "You only ate half a baby carrot? You were too full to finish a baby carrot?" Is that groundbreaking material? No. Is it safe? Yes. Is it hilarious? No. Did it get chuckles from the 6 kids paying attention? Yes. Anyway, when I got to a table of white girls, I figured I could be slightly more daring. And by slightly, I mean 0.5 on a scale of 1 to 10. "What's your name?" I asked the first girl. "Rachel," she responded. "Oh, God!" I groaned in that manner, just overemphasizing my exasperation to show I was being absurd. "Oh God, that is the whitest name ever." I heard mild giggles from the peanut gallery and the girls at the table laughed, so all was well. Or, as stated, so I thought. When that moment came back to bite me in the butt, I was floored. I asked for clarification, how was that offensive? And I was told, This event is multicultural. Our goal is 100% inclusivity, pointing out any race, even your own, brought attention to race, which automatically made things uncomfortable. Even though I didn't, I wanted to shout, "For who?" I've been a comedian long enough to know the difference between comfortable and uncomfortable laughter, and the chuckle I heard at my stupid, "whitest name ever" comment was genuine. The other thing I did that was, quote, offensive, is one I should have seen coming. Up front, I wondered whether or not I should even do a joke in support of gay marriage, because after all, I know people hear trigger words and react to them, not context. But instead of yanking the joke, I instead went crystal clear, adding a preface up front. Speaking slowly and clearly, I started the joke with, "I tell you this, I support marriage equality, and I don't understand the arguments against marriage equality." You see what I did there? I didn't say gay marriage on stage. I made sure to say marriage equality. I was being overly politically correct in a politically correct situation. The joke itself is at the expense of bigots and bigotry. During an election year, I saw an advertisement on television declaring the number one threat to America as being gay marriage. Not being able to wrap my head around such obtuse, bigoted, and off-putting thinking, I wrote a joke mocking that viewpoint. After performing it at the college, I was told, "The problem is with you, a heterosexual male, talking about marriage equality in the first place. You cannot determine how someone who is a homosexual will react to your stance on their issue." Well, hearing that, I was at a loss for words. If my joke had been at the expense of homosexuality, then yes, it would have been out of line. But to say I cannot talk about it? That's bullshit. Especially because the LGBTQ community needs me to talk about it. Not as a comedian, but as a straight person. The only way marriage equality will happen in America is by having straight people standing side by side with the LGBTQ community championing their cause. The majority has to see and understand the plight of the minority in order to create change. If the LGBTQ community were to stand alone on this, legislation would stagnate and the issue would be dismissed as a gay problem, just like AIDS was a gay problem in the 1980s before, whoops, straight people started dying from it too. Logical failings aside, if there was any viewpoint I thought would be safe on a college campus, it would be being pro-marriage equality. But no, even the topic is verboten, meaning the line was crossed when I opened my mouth. What came out of it didn't matter. What's funny, and by that I mean not funny at all, is that when I was removed from the stage, I had been doing material involving my kids for about 10 minutes. It's probably the safest material I have, with nothing remotely controversial contained within. In fact, not only is it not controversial, it is deeply personal material, and at times empathetic. How often do you see a comedian tell an audience he and his wife are donating their embryos to an infertile couple? I'm guessing rarely, if ever. But I do, and it generally gets a nice pop of laughter at the end. I mean, not at this show with all the texting and ignoring me, but when an audience is engaged, yeah, they laugh. Unfortunately, no one had the wits about them to realize, oh, okay, he's transitioned. No more hot topics like marriage equality or white people names. Likewise, no one had the decency or common sense to think, you know what? He only has 5 minutes left. Let him finish. Because when you're not paying attention to content, and you're simply trying to indulge the delicate sensibilities of a society waiting to be outraged, you've already lost. I will admit, in some teeny tiny way, I understand where the fear of offending comes from at a university. Many are taxpayer-funded institutions, and when someone gets upset, it might end up in the newspaper. Then donors get angry, and the governor gets involved, and blah, 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 on and on, on and on. I get that. But you cannot cater to everyone, and everyone is offended by something. That's simply life. My hope is that my experience was an isolated incident. My fear is that this is the future, with over-the-top sensitivity, a new normal that uses good intentions as a weapon to destroy society. I mean, after all, we know how good intentions are exactly what the road to hell is paved with.